Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Listeners, welcome to episode 30. Before I jump right into this episode, I want to remind you again that I'm currently crowdfunding my way to my first ever testing conference, Test Bash, in March. The link to donate is on the website, letstalkabouttest.xyz. If you can donate, that'll be wonderful. Thank you so much. Titled, Oh Arse. And what I want to talk to this week, the first testing video from Whiteboard Testing, and a mnemonic that he mentions in that video, which I'd not come across before, which is something that I kind of had been using, not the mnemonic itself, but the concepts behind it. But this mnemonic is a nice way to bring all those concepts together and add more that I hadn't really thought about properly or as part of as all part of one big thing, basically. So the first whiteboard testing video about testing is about the FART method, which is the flawed approach to regression testing. It's a very good video. You all should go watch it if you haven't already. And if nothing else, YouTube does automatic transcriptions for YouTube videos, and some of the mistakes that it's picked up, whether it's just because of speech to text technology not being precise or whether it's Richard's British accent that's throwing it off, some of them are brilliant. You should definitely go do that. And the video is good as well, it's worth your time. But there was one bit when Richard said, a change in part A has impacted part B, and that's what most people talk about. And the automatic transcript is, changing had a baby, and that's what most people talking homes or protesters. Technology, guys. Anyway, enough of that. The actual video is something that I've been thinking about for a while. We have one project where we need to really put more focus into the regression checks and testing that we do. It's been quite a piecemeal sort of project that we've took on, and we've added work to it and stuff like that. So regression testing is really important on this site. And the idea behind Richard's video is that you can't necessarily solely rely on automated checking for your regression checking and testing. You need to be doing exploratory or whatever the testing you do as part of the regression testing, as well as testing the new features or stories or whatever it is you're actually, the new stuff that you're testing, you need to also do regression testing at the same time. And I agree with that. We do automated regression checks. We base them off the acceptance criteria, so it only really covers what's in that feature. And the developers do it and run those tests before it even comes to me. So they'll fix, the idea is that they fix the basic errors before it even gets to me, and then I focus on the other bits. And the fact that it doesn't always necessarily work that way kind of tells you the issue sometimes with automated checking. You can't just go, oh, well, it's green, so it's fine. And just because something passes the acceptance criteria doesn't necessarily mean that it passes the story. There can still be bugs that would block the story that means it needs to get sent back to the developers for more rework. And that depends a lot on the context of the project and possibly some integration issues, or it can be anything, really. Even stuff that you wouldn't necessarily put down as part of the AC because it's not necessarily relevant to something that should happen across the whole project and doesn't happen on this new bit, for example. But there's still the context missing from regression testing, because as I said before, just because something passes the acceptance criteria doesn't necessarily mean the story as a whole can pass. There are still some things around there, including integration with other systems and other backwards compatibility, if there's any of that or anything like that, that might not be codified in the acceptance criteria but still needs to work for the story to pass. And those sort of things require knowledge of the project as a whole, and there's lots of knowledge that can't necessarily be either hard-coded in or codified. I suppose it could be codified in documentation, but not necessarily either in the code or in automated checks. It's something that exists outside those things that needs human interaction to check or test and make sure that that's right. This is also especially true on some of our more complex code bases where we made some changes to the out-of-the-box functionality that comes with the system that we're using, or we've extended modules and things like that. There's so much that can go wrong, and it's stuff that we're supporting ourselves, that we need to take extra care around them, and we can't just rely on automated checks. We can't assume that that by itself is enough. And Richard mentioned a mnemonic which I had not heard of before, which was RCRCRC, which is a mnemonic to help you remember things that you need to take into account when testing. And so the first R is for recent, as in how recent was the change. Then the first C is for core, which means what central functionality has to stay the same or be unaffected. Then there's risky, which is how risky was the change and where does the risk with this change lie? What bits do you need to investigate and dig deep into further? Configuration is the next C, which is environmental configuration, which you need to be aware of when testing things. Are there differences when the code is live that I need to take into account when I'm testing things? Then there's repaired, which is just taking into account what's been repaired, what changes have been made, and what possible effects could that have had, knowing what's been changed. And then there's chronic, which is what if any issues keep popping up, how can I test them, and can I have any specific automated checks to catch the most frequent issues, which is something sometimes we do. You know, on a project where we've been working on it for a while and it's the same team and it's like, right, okay, this issue keeps going back. Let's try and get something in the automated checks so it doesn't come to me. I'm not telling you that it's there, the machine is, because sometimes I think, I mean, I could be wrong, I'm not a developer and obviously everyone's different, but I think if there was a chronic issue, being told by a machine that there's a chronic issue would feel less harsh than a tester, another person coming and going, right, rejecting something like 3 or 4 times, or stories coming back with the same bug over and over again. I think a machine and a test fail or check failing is a lot easier to cope with. Anyway, so yeah, RCRCRC, and the fact that Richard's model is called FART is why this podcast is called ORS, because I found it amusing, because I'm a child. Yes, so I love this mnemonic. I've not heard of it before. It's going to be incredibly useful for me. Like, I have all those things in my head anyway, but just knowing that I can write that down, that RCRCRC, and just get it in my head so it becomes part of my mental and actual, like, test plans, it's great. It's really helpful. It's nice to have something to help tick off the boxes, you know? Because I get paranoid that I miss things, and so it's nice to have something down there that says, yes, I've hit all these areas. And also, I think this is a good way of also building knowledge as well, because by sitting down and thinking about all of these things when you're evaluating and testing a new story or new piece of work, you're going to bring new things into your knowledge. And it's one of those things where, I mean, another point Richard makes is you can never know the whole system, which is true. I mean, developers who've been working on projects for ages will, when we do a new feature, will say, oh, actually, I found that this actually works in this way. And so I could do this, which I wasn't expecting to be able to do, which means it was easier or quicker, or I could add this functionality at the same time, which is new and shiny. So you can't know the whole system. But going through this mnemonic with every change you make to the system, you'll gain more knowledge because you're going through it kind of systematically, which means you're more likely to catch any regressions there. And it just means you can contribute back more to the system because you'd know more about it, because it becomes this weird kind of cycle of the more you know about the system, the more you can put into the system, and then you get stuff out of the system via interacting with it in new ways, and because your knowledge is constantly updated as a project moves and changes and moves on. And you can't put all knowledge down in code and checks, because not all of the testing can be done, and not can be done as checks, which is why we make this differentiation. And as Richard says in the video, if you spend all your time adding to your automated checks, when do you get the time to get new knowledge? Because you get new knowledge by exploring and interacting, which you can't do if you spend all your time writing automated checks. Which isn't to say that automated checks aren't worth the time, because they are up to a point, because it does catch a lot of your basic errors, which frees up time for me to do proper testing instead of just checking things. So I like the balance that I've had when I've interacted with automated checking, which is, like I said, the automated checking do the bulk of the boring manual testy work, and then it comes to me when that's all passed, and I get to do all the exploratory testing and session-based test management, things like that, so I can get to know the system better and just help suggest improvements to make it better. Because that's what I'm there for at the end of the day. Yes, I'm there to catch errors and bugs, but I'm also there to help the project team deliver quality. I mean, I saw a quote on Twitter which is, developers implement quality, which they do because they're the ones making it. I just help them implement quality, and I can't do that if I'm necessarily spending all my time doing the stuff that the automated checks will be picking up. Yeah, so I'm going to leave it there for this week. The day this comes out, I will be interviewing my next guest, which I will tell you about more next week. I'm going to put that episode out the first one back after the new year. Get the new year started off with a bang. And listeners, next week's episode will be the last one of 2015. I'm going to take 2 weeks off because the next Thursday, so 2 weeks time, the Thursday's Christmas Eve, and the Thursday after that is New Year's Eve. So no one's going to really probably be listening that much to me. I might put out a silly episode, but it won't be a proper testy episode. So the next proper episode will be the first Thursday of the new year, and it will be one with a special guest. And I will announce that properly next week. In the meantime, have a good week. If any of you lovely people wish to donate to get me to Test Bash, that's at letstalkabouttest.xyz, along with all the show notes for this episode, all the past episodes, all the details on how to get in touch, everything you could need to know. So yeah, see you next week. Bye.